The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
Good afternoon. I'm Amanda Grant, president of US Adopt, and I'm excited to be your guest host today for Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach radio show. I want to welcome everyone to the show today and thank you for tuning in and taking time out of your day to be inspired and educated about adoption. I'm very excited for our subject today to discuss shifting from fertility treatment to adoption. Is it right for me? This week, I'm delighted to have with me Carolyn Berger, who's going to partake in this discussion with us and be our guest and expert. But just want to let you know that if you are interested in hearing more shows or want to download some of the previous shows, please go to the website at www.voiceamerica.com, your adoption coach on the Variety Channel. So again, I want to welcome Carolyn Berger as our guest today to discuss, again, shifting from fertility treatment to adoption. Is it right for me? Carolyn has quite a remarkable background and a lot of experience to share on this very sensitive subject. She is a licensed clinical social worker and has been helping couples and individuals create families through fertility treatment and adoption for over 20 years. She supports family building for couples, singles, and members of the LGBT community. Carolyn is also the parent of two sons, the first through reproductive technology and the second through adoption. And in addition to her private counseling practice, Carolyn is founding board chair of the American Fertility Association, chair of the AFA Adoption Advisory Council, and a professional member of the AFA's mental health group, to name just a few of her professional affiliations. So to learn more about Carolyn's services after the show, please visit her website at www.carolynberger, and that's carolynberger.org. So Carolyn, welcome.
Thank you so much, Amanda. It's great to be here.
And I am thrilled to have you as our guest today because, Carolyn, you are going to bring such a depth of experience to this conversation. And as I said, this is, for a lot of people, a very sensitive subject. I don't think that it's unknown that there are many people in our country who, for a variety of reasons, engage in fertility treatments to assist them in the production of a biological child. It may be because their first attempts at pregnancy didn't work without assistance, or they delayed trying to become pregnant due to career objectives, or they aren't married and didn't want to proceed. Everyone's got their own reason, but we all have heard of this. So can you start us off by giving us an idea of how high the numbers are of people who are in this arena?
Sure. The 1995 survey of family growth found that 2% of all U.S. women of reproductive age, that's 1.2 million women, had received medical advice for treatment of infertility within the previous year, and that another 13% had received such services at some point earlier in their lives. So there are many women out there who've either had fertility treatment or are in the midst of it now.
Well, I think those numbers are probably even higher than most people expected. You know, and of those that you're talking about, those 1.2 million who do pursue fertility efforts, can you give us an idea of the percentage of success for those people?
Sure. It's about 40%. So the remainder are left to make an alternative decision about how they will become parents, or even if they will become parents, and will also have to decide when to cease their fertility efforts.
And I'm sure those are very difficult decisions for people. And I'm thinking we probably have some listeners today who might be somewhere along the path of these fertility efforts and thinking, you know, what are the answers to these questions? How do we even move forward? So maybe we can help them by giving them some really specific guidance. And if you would start us off, Carolyn, just by sort of setting the background here, what are the choices that people have to build their families?
In the world of infertility, there's an array of choices. They include IUI, which is intrauterine insemination, IVF, or in vitro fertilization, donor sperm, donor egg, donor embryo, and surrogacy. And there are always new treatments on the horizon, too.
So what? Just while we're on that subject, that's a lot of terms, and I think people might be familiar with some of them, but not all of them. Can you give us just a very brief definition of what each of those are and how they differ?
Well, intrauterine insemination is always often the first thing a couple or individual will use in an attempt to get pregnant, and that's the doctor uses a syringe to push semen into the uterus. It's a way of getting sperm and egg closer together. In vitro fertilization, the egg is actually extracted from the woman, mixed with sperm in a petri dish, left to grow to a certain size, and then implanted in the woman to grow into a baby, hopefully. Then donor sperm and donor egg are just eggs and sperm from other people, as well as donor embryo. Sometimes donor embryos come into the picture when a couple has used as many embryos as they need. They already have their family. They have some embryos left, and they will donate them to a couple. And then surrogacy, generally you'll use a woman as your surrogate, an egg donor as well, and then the couple who are trying to have the baby. So that child is not genetically connected to the couple.
Okay.
But it's definitely a way to get pregnant when you're having difficulty maintaining a pregnancy. And I think more and more people are doing that now. You know,
the surrogacy option, you mean?
Hmm?
Are you referring to the surrogacy as something that people are doing more often now?
Yes. I mean, you see it among movie stars, for example. You know, there are always these stories out in People magazine about people who've had children that way. And I think part of the reason for that is it's very expensive.
Okay. And so not everybody's going to be able to afford it, even if it might be their first or only choice.
That's right. They might go to sort of lower-level treatments trying to get pregnant rather than going into an area where they have more of a chance of getting pregnant, but they can't afford that.
Okay. And those, we could probably have an hour-long conversation about each of these, if not more.
Definitely.
But in addition to all of these choices then through different varieties of fertility process or choices, people also have another option if they do continue to want to parent, and that would obviously be adoption. Can you start us off? I know we're going to talk about this a lot more during the rest of this show, but when someone thinks about adoption, at what point does that initially enter their mind when they're going through these fertility procedures? Is there a typical?
Well, I think it's different for everyone. Some people go into fertility treatment with a definite idea of how far they will go in order to have a biological child. For example, some couples decide that they will do everything up to in vitro fertilization, and if they haven't gotten pregnant, they'll stop and pursue adoption. Others want to try every possible avenue to have a biogenetic child, and they will do multiple IVF attempts or switch from using their own eggs to using donor eggs. Some decide they've spent enough time on treatment and money on treatment and have to save the rest of their money for adoption. Others are simply exhausted from the medical and emotional rigors of treatment and just realize it's time to adopt.
And, you know, is it typical for someone who gets to that point, either an individual or a couple who said, okay, what we've been trying biogenetically isn't working, or what I've been trying and adoption might be the best next route, I know we're going to go into detail about how they go through thinking if that's a right decision for them or not, but, you know, what resources are out there for them to turn to for guidance? Because I expect this is a very emotional time for a couple or an individual and a very difficult decision to transition through.
Well, I think that it's the best people to talk to are people who've already adopted. I think they'll provide a wealth of information, and by spending time with them, you can see how adoption works for them, and therefore it might just work for you as well. Aside from that, I tell people go to local adoptive parents meetings in their town or in their, you know, city closest to them. Those are a great way to get a lot of information in a short amount of time. And then there are adoption professionals. There are people like me. There are adoption attorneys, adoption agencies who will talk to you, and they're a great source of information.
Okay, terrific. Well, I think that's a great start. We can, you know, we can certainly offer to provide people with some specific guidance about where to find those resources, where they are. And we're going to continue this conversation in just a couple of minutes. I want to take a quick break here and thank our sponsors, Beacon House Adoption, America's Christian Credit Union, and U.S. Adopt. We are proud to be a sponsor of your Adoption Coach radio show, and to help people become educated about adoption and to share information with the show's listeners. So please join us when we return after a short break to continue this conversation.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com. If you're considering adoption and feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. U.S. Adopt can help. We provide domestic adoption consulting services that simplify and shorten your path to parenthood. Our new approach improves and accelerates your results, minimizes expenses, and eliminates costly mistakes. Whether you choose to work with an agency or attorney, to take advantage of our free consultation and learn how we can help you, please call U.S. Adopt at 212-710-2763 or visit www.usadopt.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House Adoption Services has been providing services to birth and adopting parents since 1989. We offer experience and professionalism throughout your adoption, whether domestic or international. Licensed in multiple states, Beacon House is Hague accredited through COA, accredited by the Russian Federation for International Adoptions and by the Republic of Moldova. Our domestic adoptions are nationwide. Call 225-753-5551. A 501c3 charitable organization.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, we're back with Carolyn Berger, licensed clinical social worker, to talk about the transition from fertility treatment to adoption. And as Carolyn has provided us with some great information in our first segment, to give us a basic understanding of what choices people have to build their families and the different methods of fertility process and choices and variations that people have, and there are quite a few. But often, or sometimes at least, as we understand, about 60% of people who go through fertility treatments, it's not quite successful for them. And so they need to think through their decision of how to build a family and decide if they are going to proceed to build a family, is adoption something they can should consider, and how to move forward with that. So when we'd left off, Carolyn had just talked to us about, you know, when they're pursuing a fertility treatment and decide when to stop because it's time for whatever reason, you know, what's the next step? Okay, they've decided to stop fertility. Do they need to take a break, Carolyn, or do people tend to launch right into their adoption process?
That really depends. Some people go straight into adoption. Some people start working on adoption while they're still in fertility treatment because they want to have their plan B ready if fertility treatment isn't working for them.
Does that possibly take their focus off one or the other?
Well, it helps people when their options are running low in fertility treatment. It helps them to realize that one way or another they can have a baby, bring a baby into their family.
Okay.
And I think one of the things about people at this point, when they do decide that they're going to go and try to adopt, is they realize that raising and nurturing a child is more important to them than giving birth to a child. That's when they find themselves opening up to the possibility of adoption.
And that must be a pretty dramatic shift for them because that's a pretty profound change in thinking to be focused on trying to create a child for the purposes of giving birth or creating versus the lifelong effort of raising a child.
Well, that's absolutely true. Some people go straight to adoption. They never even go through fertility treatment. Some people know that they've wanted to adopt a child their whole lives. But most of us don't really think seriously about adoption until our backs are kind of up against the wall and we're not, you know, getting a baby biologically. We start to look at adoption. And then what you hope will happen and what often happens is people get involved in the world of adoption, get excited about it, and, you know, their life sort of takes on a whole new meaning. And the idea of adopting is just something they're very enthusiastic about.
Yeah, and to your point, maybe it takes, for whatever reason, being engaged in thinking that this becomes the right thing for them to change the way they look at the world of adoption. I remember Adam Pertman, who is the director of the Evan B. Donaldson Institute for Adoption, speaking at a conference once and making a great point. And I think he made it in his latest book too, Adoption Nation, where he said that adoption doesn't have to be second best just because it's a second choice. And I'm paraphrasing, but I thought
that captures
the same point, right? Mm-hmm. That for many people, when they first think about it, it is second best in their mind until they come to understand that that's not actually the case.
That's true. And I think that a lot of people, when they start talking to prospective birth mothers, suddenly something really clicks for them. Because it's just a miracle that with you having so much trouble having a child, you are now talking to someone who's actually thinking about placing her child with you.
And I would guess for a lot of people, as would be natural, there's some fear leading up to first communications with a birth mother. So it's probably a very refreshing reality when they realize it's another human being.
That's true. I mean, we tell people when you first talk to a birth mother, the main thing to do is to, you know, reach out to her and really try to have some good communication. You know, some people feel they should be asking, you know, how pregnant are you? You know, what do you look like? What does the child's father look like? But it's really all about making that connection with that person. And it's kind of a magical thing.
I bet. Well, and I know from my own experience of having adopted and met my son's birth mother, it was magical. And I think I've never heard anyone describe it as really otherwise in very rare situations. Okay, so let's just go back a little bit. We got to the point in talking about how people have made the decision to stop fertility process and move forward with an adoption. So how do they actually decide if adoption might be the right path for them as a next choice?
That's a big question. I think that if they feel they can love a child who is not biologically connected to them, they are ready to proceed into the world of adoption.
Okay. And in your practice, Carolyn, maybe you can just give us an example. How do you help a couple get to that point? It seems like a very big leap from where they start.
It is a big leap. And actually, we've used to call a talk like this taking the leap from fertility treatment to adoption.
Oh, interesting.
And now we're talking about crossing the bridge from fertility treatment to adoption, which is a little bit more, you know, accurate, I think. It's a process. You don't take one quick leap. You take many steps to get across that bridge.
And what, from your experience, is the hardest of those steps for people to take as they're crossing the bridge?
Well, I think, you know, really letting go of the biological child they had hoped to have is a very important first step. And it can take longer for one, if you have a couple, it may take longer for one of the people than the other. And then I think just being open to another kind of child, not the child you thought you imagined would be yours, but a child who's different. And I help people try to imagine the child that they would like to adopt. That's very, practically, that's very helpful, but I think emotionally it is as well. You know, and we go through, you know, are you interested in having, you know, a white child, a biracial child, an African-American child, you know, a child from Asia? What feels right to you? And I think when people sort of latch on to, when they reach that conclusion, I think they're well on their way.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I'm sure it takes some time to get through those points because even, you know, I've heard many people say that though they've got practice and they've been through counseling, that sometimes they can never wholly let go of their visions of a biological child, even if they move forward with adoption.
I think that's true. And, you know, different things can sort of trip off that feeling of loss, even when you've got your adopted child with you. I mean, maybe somebody in your family just had a baby or a friend just got pregnant, and all of a sudden, you know, you're feeling really depressed, and people feel very guilty about that because they think, why should I be so depressed when I have this wonderful child I just adopted? But it's human nature. It doesn't all go away, just most of it.
But that's okay.
It's definitely okay.
It's probably important to let people know that. I'm sure that's a lot of what you spend your time telling them, because I would imagine that they're sort of torn between feeling guilty about letting go of that vision and moving forward in an excited way with the prospect of an adoption.
That's true.
Do you find that there are obstacles, or have you found in your experience that what is it that might stop a couple or an individual from moving forward with the idea of an adoption?
Well, one thing that can happen is it's not unusual for a couple to find themselves out of sync when it comes to deciding to adopt. The man may feel ready to pursue adoption while the woman wants to try another option, such as egg donation.
Okay.
Or the man wants to pursue IVF and the woman is finding the emotional ups and downs of each cycle to be exhausting.
Okay.
Adoption may begin to look like a positive option for her. The most important thing here is to help the couple understand each other's feelings. Sometimes I recommend that they go through a nightly exercise of each listening to the other's thoughts and feelings in a non-judgmental way without reaching a decision. And what happens when each person really truly listens to the other is sometimes that opens the way to a decision. And it's also good for their marriage.
Certainly can't hurt, right?
Right. And there are also times when a couple or individual needs to stop and take a vacation from family building efforts. They may need time to process what has happened in fertility treatment, mourn the loss of their wished for biological child, and gather up the strength to pursue adoption.
And is that common for people to sort of take a break from all of it for a while before they come back and reengage in building their family?
It is. And I think for many, many couples and individuals, it's a really good idea because, you know, the rigors of adoption, it's not easy. You know, adoption
right.
is not for sissies. And you have to gird your strength. You know, you have to be ready for things may not go perfectly the first time around. And, you know, it may take longer than you hoped. It's challenging.
Yep.
It's rewarding, but it's challenging.
Absolutely. And even though it's exciting, even in the best of circumstances, you've got ups and downs that you have
mm-hmm.
to deal with. It's just a different roller coaster ride.
Sure. I mean, every once in a while you hear about someone who adopted in, you know, a month.
Yep.
And that should only happen to all of us, you know.
Right, exactly.
But it doesn't. It usually takes more time and more concerted effort for the rest of us.
Right. But I guess by the same token, hearing those stories and knowing it's even a remote possibility at least lends some hope to people.
Sure, which is why I encourage people to go to any adoptive parents committee type meetings they can go to, because they'll see people up there bringing up their child they just brought home, and you get to see that they're just normal people like you and me, and they have succeeded. And if they can succeed, why can't you?
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good point. I also recommend the same thing to my clients. You can't meet enough people who've been through this process. And the other thing I think that does is reinforces that no two adoptions are alike.
Mm-hmm.
And people realize that when they meet each other and meet other real people, like you said, who've just gone through the process and here they are with their child and their family. So this is terrific. Thank you so much, Carolyn. This is great information. We're going to take a brief break right now, and then we will be back with Carolyn Berger. Please join us in just a moment.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
Beacon House Adoption Services has been providing services to birth and adopting parents since 1989. We offer experience and professionalism throughout your adoption, whether domestic or international. Licensed in multiple states, Beacon House is Hague accredited through COA, accredited by the Russian Federation for International Adoptions and by the Republic of Moldova. Our domestic adoptions are nationwide. Call 225-753-5551, a 501c3 charitable organization.
If you're considering adoption and feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. U.S. Adopt can help. We provide domestic adoption consulting services that simplify and shorten your path to parenthood. Our new approach improves and accelerates your results, minimizes expenses, and eliminates costly mistakes. Whether you choose to work with an agency or attorney, to take advantage of our free consultation and learn how we can help you, please call U.S. Adopt at 212-710-2763 or visit www.usadopt.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
and welcome back to Your Adoption Coach. I'm Amanda Grant from US Adopt Today. I'm guest hosting, and we're back here with our guest and expert, Carolyn Berger, LCSW. Before the break, we talked quite a bit about how to decide if adoption is the right course for a family if fertility efforts aren't working, and then some of the situations that come up when people begin the process of wondering, is adoption right for them, and going through it either as an individual or a couple. And we primarily focused, Carolyn, I think, on couples. What if they're a married couple is kind of what we were talking about, but there are other kinds of families that might be going through both fertility and crossing the bridge to adoption. And I'm just wondering if we could talk a little bit about those and maybe share with us what your thoughts are for both people in the LGBT community, either singles or couples. And then also we have another body, I think, really of single women who have been pursuing a lot of these efforts on their own. And if we could just talk about how those either are similar or different to the way a traditional married couple might process this decision?
Sure. Within the LGBT community and also with singles, I think the first hurdle to get over is to begin to feel like you have a right to adopt a child. You know, we do live in a society that's still pretty homophobic. I mean, we're getting better. But, you know, a lot of people in the LGBT community don't even think about adoption until much later in life because they grew up assuming that because they were gay, they would not have children. And what we have found, actually, I mean, if you're in the LGBT community or single, find an attorney to help you who is, you know, aligned with you, and the process will go much more smoothly. Something's kind of interesting in the LGBT community as well is that birth mothers seem to really like two males trying to adopt. They go toward that more frequently than they go toward two females.
Really?
Yes. And the thing, the way it's been explained, and it's just an anecdotal explanation, is that the birth mother, when she places her child with two men, realizes this child is not going to have a different mother. So she's going to remain the mother. Whereas if she places the child with two lesbians, this child has three mothers.
Oh, that's very interesting. I never would have thought about that. I mean, and certainly we should just assure people who might be listening that for couples where there are two females, there are certainly plenty of birth mothers who select a double mother family.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's not, you know, it's not, they're not exclusively choosing all men.
That
and
is
I,
very interesting.
I think with single women also, there's the feeling that many of them don't have the right to have a child without a spouse, or the worry that they're not going to be able to manage, you know, the day-to-day taking care of a child without a partner. And one of the things I encourage them to do is to, you know, look around and see what their support system is. And maybe they need to add to that support system so they'll get the help they need raising their child.
That's a great point, and that is certainly true of anybody who's planning on any kind of adoption.
That's
or
true.
Or becoming a family.
We all need other people supporting us, but I think that's especially so when we're having trouble having a family one way or the other. We're a little bit disenfranchised at that moment, and we need help.
That's probably really important for people to be able to acknowledge and know that it's okay to reach out and ask, and that it's sort of normal in going through the process to get to that point of needing help.
Well, I actually look at building up your support network as a strength. You know, that sometimes people who have children easily don't develop.
Why do you think that is?
I think because they're a little bit more complacent than people who've had a lot of trouble having families. And they may, you know, believe that, oh, if I've got a spouse, then we should be able to take care of this child between the two of us, all by ourselves. And I just don't think that's true for anyone.
Yeah. That's a good point. So hopefully anyone who's listening, who's going through this process in any way, takes that advice. I think it's great advice. And I just want to add one other thing too, Carolyn, your fascinating point about a birth mom, at least within the LGBT community, often choosing two males so mm-hmm. that there's sort of no competition in another mother or perceived mm-hmm. competition. One of the things that I've heard regarding single women adopting is that they're often afraid they won't be selected by a birth mother. And in fact, again, it's anecdotal, but there are plenty of situations where birth mothers have intentionally selected a single woman to mm-hmm. parent their child versus a male-female or male-male couple because they don't have positive associations with male figures in their lives.
I think that's true, and I also think they can relate. Many of them are on their own.
Right.
They can relate to another woman on her own, and they can sort of band together and
yep.
help each other out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I can speak to that from a personal experience. I know that my son's birth mother told me a long time ago why she selected me. And interestingly, her choice came down to a decision between me as a single female parent and two males.
Uh-huh.
So what you say is very true. Interesting. Okay, so let's just take a step back towards the thinking process, because I think what you're guiding our listeners through here as far as how to work through this emotional decision is really valuable information. So when a family makes the decision to move forward and they've got to sort of process their dreams, their original dreams of a biological child, how do they do this with the most healthy mindset about adoption?
That's a great question. I think that they've got to allow themselves ambivalence. It's okay to be a little bit unsure as you go toward adoption. You don't have to be completely resolved to, you know, reach out and start talking to prospective birth mothers, because I actually think that doing that is part of working through the grief very often.
I think that's a really interesting point. So initiating the process might help them to process their own emotions about their initial goal.
That's true.
Okay.
I mean, just listening to other people who are, you know, prospective birth mothers, they're in such a difficult situation, you know, and they usually don't have much support. And just connect, they often feel the way you feel, you know, that you don't have a lot of support in this undertaking. So it's a perfect match in the best of cases.
And it's probably one that people would never be likely to anticipate. I'm guessing that match of emotions is surprising to many people going through this.
I think so, and I know in my own experience, it was.
Hmm.
Just, there was something otherworldly about it, talking to people who were going to place their child with you. When you had so much difficulty, you know, trying to have a child, here's somebody who unfortunately didn't have difficulty having a child, but she's not ready to parent. And
right.
You need each other.
So in a way, your or any parent's initial relationship building with the birth mother is really contributing to the healing.
Absolutely. A lot of birth mothers really look to you for some of the support that they're not getting. And you really, I think, it's a switch for a couple or individual trying to adopt. Now you're really looking at someone else's needs. You've been very needy yourself going through fertility treatments, but things just switched.
Interesting. And that's probably very refreshing, too.
In some ways.
So once a couple or individual makes this shift decides they're going to move forward with the adoption, you know, we've talked about the fact that some people wait. Is there a particular amount of time that they should wait that is sort of healthier before they proceed?
I don't think there's any specific amount of time you should wait. You know, it used to be when you wanted to adopt and you went to an adoption agency, you had to say you were completely finished with fertility treatments and maybe some time had elapsed. The world isn't like that anymore. You can, if you have the energy, you can start trying to adopt when you're still trying to get pregnant.
And you've talked to us a little bit already about how that can actually be really healthy. So I think this is a good place for us to take a break. I just want to thank our sponsors again, Beacon House Adoptions and America's Christian Credit Union, for helping to make the show possible, as well as US Adopt. We are proud to be a sponsor of your adoption coach. We're going to take a very quick break, and then we'll be back with you for our final segment with Carolyn Berger. Please stay tuned.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House Adoption Services has been providing services to birth and adopting parents since 1989. We offer experience and professionalism throughout your adoption, whether domestic or international. Licensed in multiple states, Beacon House is Hague accredited through COA, accredited by the Russian Federation for International Adoptions and by the Republic of Moldova. Our domestic adoptions are nationwide. Call 225-753-5551. A 501c3 charitable organization.
If you're considering adoption and feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. U.S. Adopt can help. We provide domestic adoption consulting services that simplify and shorten your path to parenthood. Our new approach improves and accelerates your results, minimizes expenses, and eliminates costly mistakes. Whether you choose to work with an agency or attorney, to take advantage of our free consultation and learn how we can help you, please call U.S. Adopt at 212-710-2763 or visit www.usadopt.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, I'm Amanda Grant of U.S. Adopt, and we're back with Carolyn Berger to talk about crossing the bridges. Carolyn's had me advised us is the more appropriate and fitting way to talk about it, from fertility treatment to adoption and deciding if it's right for you. So we left off at the end of our last segment just talking about the fact that there's really no specific time that's necessarily recommended to wait between making the decision to move forward from efforts for a biogenetic child and beginning the adoption efforts. And in fact, these two things may overlap, which would not necessarily be a bad thing because there are some health benefits for folks going through this process. So, Carolyn, again, thank you for all of your very specific and knowledgeable guidance so far on today's show. Can you talk to us a little bit about what is the hardest part of this intellectual and emotional transition from fertility efforts to adoption?
Well, ending treatment can be very difficult. You may have gotten very familiar with the medical practice you go to. The doctors and nurses may have come to feel like friends. You may feel that you've disappointed them because you haven't gotten pregnant, or you may feel angry with them for failing to get you pregnant. In each case, the leave-taking can be difficult. When you begin to explore adoption, you're suddenly in a brand new world with new people and new words to add to your vocabulary. It can feel like you left home and are now entering foreign territory. It will take you time to learn about adoption, but if you can surround yourselves with other adoptive parents and adoption professionals, you can, in a relatively short period of time, come to understand adoption and feel comfortable with it and excited about it.
Which obviously, you know, is what you want people to feel when they enter this process, as challenging as it is. But I want to ask you something. You've made some really interesting points. Just the fact that an individual or couple might come to feel about the fertility process as a place that's home-like for them is interesting to me, because you hear so many people talk about it as a process that becomes so clinical and almost unhuman.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what people have to go through with medications and procedures and doctor's appointments and, quite frankly, budget.
Right.
What is it about the process that starts to be a comfort zone for them?
Well, I think most of us, when we're in a clinic setting, you know, it feels very like you're in the Army now kind of thing.
Right.
Everybody has to do things a certain way at a certain time. But once you've been there for a while and you sort of know the drill, you've probably made friends with one of the nurses there, or you've got your favorite doctor there, and it does feel like a home. And you don't want to leave, because that means you're not going to have a baby. And sometimes the doctors also have trouble letting you leave. I've seen that, people telling their doctor that they want to go and adopt, and the doctor saying, no, stay here, you know, a little while longer. You know, we have another procedure we can do.
Because they don't want them to give up on those efforts just yet?
Right. They're in the business of helping people get pregnant.
Mm.
And they can feel like they have failed if they haven't gotten you pregnant.
Well, which I guess is understandable, since that's their entire goal.
Exactly.
When they're working with you. And how much, if any, does extended family come into the play when people start to make this shift?
Well, I think the more extended family you have and the more people you're in touch with, the better.
Yeah.
And if they're supportive and open and excited about your adopting, that's great. If they're talking like they're anxious about your adopting and they think you should keep trying to get pregnant, then you sort of need to switch to another member of your extended family network who's a little more positive about it. I think I tell people very frequently, if you're hearing negative stuff, you know, it's okay to change the channel and be with someone who's more positive, because you really need that.
And do they tend to follow that advice? I would imagine with family, that's a hard thing to do.
It is. What a lot of people do is they will try to educate the family member. And, you know, they can do that for a while, and if it works, that's great. But if it doesn't, there are many other, probably other people in their world who can be there. And I've also seen many, many times that people who are not so wild about your deciding to adopt, the baby comes along and they're in love with the baby in about 2 seconds.
Right. I've seen that as well in many families and social situations with people. There's something about a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot about, you know, you will know, you know, you'll know this better than I would, but there seems to be so much anticipation around building a family, however you're doing it, that
mm-hmm.
and the people who are doing it, whether it's an individual or a couple, are going to be so much more educated about the method they are pursuing than anyone else in their life will be, that it's probably very difficult to even communicate all of that to your extended family or your support network all the way along, because you're going through this very dramatic, intense, expensive, emotional process either way.
Right, and that's when it's really good to be around other people who have adopted. If you're very, very lucky, there's someone in your family who has already adopted. The family's already gone through this, you know, way of building a family. But if not, you need to be around other adoptive parents.
And that goes back to your comments before about either finding groups or online groups or support groups or through counselors. I mean, certainly, I know from my experience, once you enter the world of adoption, you seem to connect with people very quickly.
Mm-hmm. They understand. They know what you're going through. You know, they know how you can be excited one minute and deflated the next, you know, and how things are sort of like a roller coaster when you're trying to adopt many times.
Right, and it's all normal.
It is all normal.
Yeah. So, Carolyn, what final advice would you like to offer our listeners today who might be at this crossroads?
Well, get help if you need it in order to cross the bridge from fertility treatment to adoption. Realize that there are many people out there who want to help you. All you need to do is let them. And adoptive parents are a great source of encouragement and can walk alongside you through the process. Choose your adoption professionals carefully with the help of other adoptive parents and adoption professionals. Trust that adoption is a process by which many children have joined many families. If these other couples and individuals can do it, so can you.
That's probably the most important thing to remember, because there's so much doubt that clouds a change of heart and pursuing something new to build a family, whether it's through fertility or adoption, that it people lose sight of the fact that they can do this. So I thank you for that comment and for all of your extremely insightful guidance and valuable information for our listeners today. I want to thank Carolyn Berger for being with us and for this experience. If you would like to learn more about Carolyn's services or affiliations, you can visit her website at www.carolynberger.org or reach her directly at 914-834-6396 or by email at cnberger@optonline.net. Carolyn, this has been tremendous. Thank you so much, and I'm sure our listeners are really going to get a lot of information out of your expertise. I would like to thank our adoption America's Christian Credit Union today for providing us with today's adoption financing tip, and that is that to maximize the equity you may have in your current vehicles to help secure a loan for your adoption. Although our unsecured adoption loan is convenient, using the equity in your car could actually result in a lower interest rate and payment than a traditional unsecured adoption loan. ACCU has low auto loan rates that may help fit this new monthly payment into your budget. And to find out how, you can contact ACCU at www.americaschristiancu.com or 1-800-343-6328 for more details regarding auto and adoption loans to help you finance your adoption. So once again, I want to thank Carolyn Berger for being our guest. It's been my pleasure to host today's segment of Your Adoption Coach radio show, and we hope you'll join us next week and every other week. Thank you so much for listening.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.